we will be talking about neglected tropical diseases, which remains a silent killer in South Sudan.
That's right. So the World Health Organization is raising an alarm over neglected tropical diseases, which according to the health agency are silent killers in South Sudan. And according to the World Health Organization, that disease affects the poorest, most vulnerable people who live in hard to reach parts of the country.
Well, they disfigure and disable now keep children out of school and parents out of work, limiting their potential and leaving communities stuck in poverty. Well, joining us this morning to speak more about the neglected tropical diseases and intervention needed is Dr. Richard Lino Laku, who is Director General for Policy Planning, Budgeting and Research, Ministry of Health. And also we have Evans Liwosi, who is the Clinical Officer for the Neglected Tropical Diseases World Health Organization. Gentlemen, good morning and good to have you on the Miraya Breakfast Show.
Morning.
Thank you. Good morning.
Let's look at these diseases. When we talk about neglected tropical diseases, what are these diseases?
Thank you so much. Neglected tropical diseases is a group of parasitic diseases, and some of them are fungal. They affect more than a billion people globally, and most of the affected people actually in Africa, and that is why it raises a lot of concern for us.
Right. So how prevalent are these diseases in South Sudan, and to what extent have they affected the populations?
South Sudan is one of the most affected countries in Africa. This is beside countries like DRC, Congo, Nigeria, and Ethiopia. And you find that most of them have not been measured for a very long time. And although we knew most of them are actually here, we just started doing a scientific research through mapping to understand their prevalence, magnitude, and also be able to define interventions that are required. But here, specifically, we've got diseases like guinea worm, diseases like sleeping sickness, diseases like trachoma, bilharzia, onchocerciasis, and lymphatic filariasis.
Yes, and as we talk about these diseases, has there been any progress that has been made to avert the threat posed by neglected tropical diseases in South Sudan? What efforts have been put in place?
A lot is being done, especially after we first made the master plan to really understand the scope of this disease, and then also conduct mapping to know where they are and how many they are. And as I'm talking to you, we have mapping that is actually ongoing in the remaining 35 counties for preventive chemotherapy type of diseases. We'll talk about them later. Mm-hmm. But the government has, through the support of the Honorable Minister, Dr. Riak Guy, has been on the forefront to campaign for the country and to advocate that they be known and they be supported by the country and by all other partners that are working. I'm here with Dr. Lagu. I'm sure he will add
something. Yes, Dr. Richard, please.
Yeah, thank you very much. I just wanted to add to what Dr. Evans has just mentioned. In top of that, the ministry actually has established at the national level a directive of preventive medicine, where we have a full department that take leads in monitoring these kind of problems. We also develop policies in regards to control of these diseases. As Evans has said, there are actually nearly 20 neglected tropical diseases. And as he said, all of them actually, with the exception of the Chagas disease, which is in U.S., existing in South Sudan. So, and there are various, as he said, some of them are actually caused by bacteria, some by parasitic, some by fungal, some also by viral. Some of the virus, and some are actually we have emergings like nodding syndrome now in Mundre and some part of Inai, which actually the cause is not been known. So these are all neglected, and the reason being called neglected because across the world, most of the countries and including South Sudan are not putting it as a priority. Mm-hmm. For us in South Sudan, we have other diseases, other endemic diseases, including malaria, which is a leading. Mm-hmm. So we feel like now at the moment the efforts are being put toward that. And most of the countries, they are looking at most of these endemic diseases that has immediate impact on life and killing, and they want to address them. And these ones, because they are chronic infections that take no time, so they were like put in the second or in the shelf for a while we're addressing this. That's why it's called neglected. But they're imposing, they're affecting more, the most poorest people, and also including the vulnerable women and children, which actually ended up in a very devastating situation. And these are the engine drivers for the economy, and also most bigger chunk of population. If you see our population today, 80% are rural, and also the poverty level is actually around 52%. So right. You see, and these are the most affected people.
Right.
Now, we have developed policies and strategies along those lines, and the strategies are in such a way that how do we move from control toward elimination, but still we are not talking about the control, because other countries have reached a level of elimination, but we're still moving toward those kinds.
Yes, Dr. Richard, thank you so much. And still speaking about poverty, since the neglected tropical diseases has a lot to do with poverty, hunger and starvation, as you mentioned there, does the answer lie in tackling the economy more than the health aspect?
Well, when you looked at the, we call them determinants of health. Health, actually, to be healthy, the responsibility doesn't fall in the ministry, because the drivers or the causes of ill health are actually falling beyond us. One of it is the issue of the poverty, which is related to financing and households' income, but others are related, even some of the line ministries, like when we looked at the mining, for example, and petroleum, for example, they are supporting economy, but they also they have impact in the health, because they're causing environmental effect that also can cause some of these diseases and contributing to that. So for that, that's why we as a health, because when people get sick, then we get blamed that, okay, Ministry of Health is not doing their job. So our role is to go out and reach the other line ministers and other people to ensure that all of us work together. If the petroleum or mining, because they are doing and they're having environmental, how do you make work with them so that they do their work, they support the economy, but we mitigate the risks that are related to that. And we move with the other, even Minister of Finance, we ask them to make sure that they allocate more resources to the health sector. Although it's a long way to go, but we've been working through the Parliament, through the other partners, to ensure that they allocate more funding so that we'll be able to provide services to the most poor and the remote people.
Yes, Dr. Evans, just briefly, still wondering though, why is neglected tropical diseases related to poverty? Or associated with poverty?
Actually, you see, when these diseases they maim, they disable, they disfigure, they really demean a human, and it's not a good indicator when a country has these diseases. This is why when you look at the developed countries, one of the big progress they have made is eliminate most of these diseases. Things like intestinal worms, you know, these are diseases that are of past in some quite a number of developed nations. And it being a really poor indicator in terms of even the state of countries, it's because people don't have basic access to basic things like water, safe drinking water. Mm-hmm. People don't have basic access to use of toilet, because, and then, you know, some of these diseases, you get them also sometimes through, you know, eating a food that is not very well cleaned. So there are really these basic things that the population, especially in the very remote areas, do not have access to basic things. And as mentioned by Dr. Lagu, it's beyond the Minister of Health. We need to try our best to address also other SDGs. It's not just focusing on SDG number 3 that deals with health. It's to do with schooling, education, people knowing the right, no, having equitable distribution of resources across the country, and improving the well-being of people, not just because of taking health. And it's also beyond just taking medication. So we've got to do a lot, at least to ensure that we are tackling these NTDs, and we should even in this country use it as a milestone whereby when a community has some of these NTDs like guinea worm, it's not a good sign.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, in June 2015, the G7 countries agreed to strengthen the right to health, intensify research on neglected diseases. Any important milestones that have been reached so far?
A lot has been done before and especially after 2016. Mm-hmm. Globally, you've got like more than 200 countries that have actually been certified free of guinea worm. There are countries that have also eliminated diseases like onchocerciasis, that was a big problem, a few of them. And there are countries that have brought down the burden of diseases like intestinal worms, trachoma. However, when you come to South Sudan, in 2015 is when we launched the master plan for NTD, 5-year plan. Mm-hmm. And since then we stalled because we could not do much, because as much as we, the really aim was to work together to ensure that we map, understand the prevalence of all these diseases in the country. There was an interference because of the conflict. However, we've been able to recover, and as I'm talking to you now, we've mapped a big percentage, 80% for bilharzia and intestinal worms, and we've only got 35 counties that are yet to be mapped for lymphatic filariasis, also known as elephantiasis. The teams are already in the field. Yesterday, they completed Malakal. We've dispatched teams to Pibor. Some are in Longichuk. Others today, this morning, are going to Tambora. Yesterday, some left to Maridi. And I think by the end of the month, we should have finished mapping most of them.
Right. And how far with the guinea worm?
Yeah, guinea worm, we had made very good progress. I think the fastest ever to be made by any country in Africa, whereby since 2006, when we moved from more than 20,000 cases to zero cases in 2007, we had a setback last year by detecting 10 cases. Yeah. And when you look at the locations where these cases were detected, these are areas that were blocked because of insecurity. The Minister of Health and Partners could not have access to those areas. Mm-hmm. As I'm speaking to you now, we have a big conference going on in Atlanta. South Sudan presented the situation yesterday, and it was very well welcome. And I think although we had a setback in 2018, there is hope in 2019 and in 2020.
All right, let's talk to you, Dr. Richard. As Ministry of Health, what strategic interventions are needed to prevent these NTDs in South Sudan?
Thank you very much. The strategic intervention, first of all, when you want to address a problem, you really need to understand the magnitude of the problem and where are they. And with those intervention, the first thing, as he has said, we impacted in doing the mapping so that we understand the magnitude of the problem and also the geographical distribution, and looking at what kind of potentials we have in those sites that could help us address the issue. Mm-hmm. So as he said, since 2015, after launching that master plan, mm-hmm. immediately we have done some work. Until last year, we covered 80% of the country in terms of mapping, and now we are moving this year. And actually, part of the reason we are coming on air, just because now currently we have teams which are moving into the field, mm-hmm. to finish the 35 counties that are remaining for the lymphatic filariasis, which is sometimes we call it Mara del Fil. In Arabic, people maybe understand it, where you'll find somebody has one limb, small mm-hmm. swell, and then the other. Mm-hmm. It's like having puffy foot, and this is, we call it Mara del Fil. Mm-hmm. So that's one part. As I've said, all these diseases that we have, more than 20 that we have, and now we are having, let me say, maybe 19, because one is Chagas disease, doesn't have. Some of them, like trachoma, we already mapped them. But those lymphatic and schisto, which is bilharzia, we call it bilharzia in Arabic, most of them, we don't know the magnitude of the problem. Although we've been working with the schools, doing health educations, and also we've been working, giving mass drug therapy for some of these diseases as interventions that we've been doing. Mm-hmm. But since we don't have that clear picture of where are those diseases and all this. So now we are having this first exercise to establish the magnitude, knowing the distribution, so that we have a basis of interventions looking across. Interventions, of course, first of all, you need to really make people aware about the problem. What is it? And what is the mode of transmission? And so the intervention goes that you do awareness, and then you try to cut the transmission. If it is to do with the water, the issue of the water, like transmission of the helminths, this is need to make sure that you provide safe drinking water. We work with Ministry of water and power to ensure that, and the city council to ensure that water, safe water is provided. And then also we make sure that in education, in schools, we also make sure that in some of the public places we have toilets and all this. So these are all things, interventions that we were working. And it is summarized in, we have intervention related to WASH. And we have a group of WASH. WASH means water and sanitation interventions, where we work with a number of partners, and like UNICEF, one of the agencies that take lead in that. We have also doing vector control. And vector control is specifically to look at the those diseases that are transmitted through vector, like leishmaniasis is being transmitted to vector, malaria also transmitted with vector. So we have, that's why we're using mosquito nets to prevent people from those kind of diseases. But most important thing is those who are sick need to be diagnosed, and then when they are diagnosed, and then you give them treatment, which is available. So this cut across kind of major interventions, and in all these areas we have been doing here and there, but now with the master plan, if now having established the magnitude of the problem, now we'll be going in phases to ensure that we address the most badly affected people, and then move to the rest, so that we'll move from control to elimination.
Yes, and Dr. Evans, so just thinking out loud here, are there vaccine for these neglected tropical diseases?
Majority, no. We don't have vaccines, and because they are very simple diseases to treat, and you know, we do mass drug administration across, especially for diseases that fall under preventive chemotherapy. As I said, diseases like trachoma, diseases like onchocerciasis, bilharzia, and worms, you treat them through mass drug administration that is given for free. And the most important is that you want as many people in an infected area to take these medications, because then it brings the load of those infection down. The setback we have, and I think one of the challenges that I think we move forward in South Sudan, you see, these diseases are mostly targeted for elimination by 2020. 2020 is next year.
That's next year.
And when these targets were put in place, this was just before 2015, but unfortunately we were caught off by conflict. So I'm sure South Sudan is unlikely to meet the elimination targets. And the other sad part is that because they don't strike like cholera, they don't strike like Ebola, they don't strike like meningitis, people get to ignore them, including even some of the funding institutions. It does not look very attractive, but because they are slow, they maim, they disfigure. But remember, when you have been struck by trachoma or onchocerciasis, you have irreversible blindness that you cannot correct. So you've got all this very negative impact, and that is why we are very happy Radio Miraya gives us a platform so that to appeal to funding, because even if you look in South Sudan, there are so many areas we have known the disease is, but we are not getting the necessary funds to be able to tackle these diseases, and it's an area that we really need to do a lot.
Right, thank you so much, Mr. Evans. And just before we let you go, how can this neglected tropical diseases awareness be increased?
As I said in the very beginning, it's beyond health. People should not just look at health and think that we are going to correct most of these diseases, because it's provision of safe water, is tackling poverty, is reaching these communities that are in very remote areas that don't have basic access to basic things, even like soap. You just use soap to wash your face and then trachoma is gone. You use soap to wash your body and then you don't get scabies.
Right.
So these are whole holistic areas that needs collective support. WHO has developed guidelines. We have policies. We're working very closely with the government and to guide anyone who is interested in supporting this a group of diseases. Because, as I said, even if you look at the global indicators, it is expected the country has to eliminate one or two, three diseases annually. South Sudan has almost all of them, with the exception of Chagas. So there is a lot of work that has to be done, and it needs a collective effort.
Right, and Dr. Lako, yes, anything to add on?
Two, three things. The first one, for us actually to increase the awareness, one of the means that we actually, and that's why we're here, is we are very thankful for Radio Miraya for all the work that they've been doing with Minister of Health disseminating messages. So we use media, like your institution where you reach most of the country, to transmit, because we know most of our people can listen to radio. So messages about these diseases, the danger and all this has to be also conveyed and get to that. We also use some of the religious institutions, so like churches, mosques, so that people there, when they come for prayers, we give the chance for the church leaders to also transmit some of the messages and all this. Schools are also one of the best places. The children are very good in taking messages home, so when these have been given to them and all this, they'll be able to take those informations to the next. And also use of the posters, things that in the common places, the pictures, how this disease can disfigure, not necessarily in wording, because people can, some people doesn't read, but in pictures they'll be able to see and understand, and people so we use lectures, we use media, we use different media. But what is so important is that this has not to be just at this level. We need to go down to community and make sure that the community themselves are part, and they are driving to also take these messages forward. Go to them, the community leaders, tell them the messages, what is it that they need to do in terms of advising people to go access safe drinking water, make public toilets and this kind of things. But you need to make sure that they were part and partial of the process, so that
right. Dr. Richard and Evans, just before you go, today is the International Water Day.
Yes.
And it's what we've been discussing here in the morning as well on the Miraya Breakfast Show. I'd like to know your views on the issues of water, and on this particular day, what messages could you like to send out there?
Thank you very much. Water is actually is life. Water is life. 70% of all of our body is made of water. So that means we can't survive without water. You can be for more than 72 hours without food, but you cannot be more than 48 hours without water. Definitely does. So, and water, of course, being a life for us, it also carries some risk, because we have a lot of diseases that could be transmitted through water. We call it waterborne diseases, including cholera, including some of the disease, neglected tropical disease here we're talking about, the bilharzia and so forth. And even trachoma, because if you don't use clean water to wash your face and all this, you also transmit those kind of things. So our message here that we are very great today is a water day, and we are actually working closely with Ministry of Water and Dam to ensure that the provision of safe water for the people. I know some people we are getting water mostly from the river. Getting water from river is not safe to take a drink and use it. You need to make sure that that water is chlorinated, and you need to make sure that if you don't have even the chlorine, make sure that boil this water, put it to cool for some time, and then you use it after that. Because these are very simple measures, especially in the rural area where they will not have funding to buy or to have access to chlorine, but this can help them protect the people from that.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Richard. Yes, Evans?
Everything happens around water, but for health, we advocate for safe water, not just water. Right. Otherwise, South Sudan has a lot of water, more than any other countries in the region. But the most important thing, it being an International Water Day, is to ensure that people have access to safe drinking water. When you look at water is good, but also water can be an agent. For instance, Guinea worm is a water-related disease. Scabies, if you don't take shower, you also get it. Diseases like trachoma, if you don't wash your face, you know, you also get these diseases. So, it being a water day, I think the most important thing is to advocate for safe drinking water that the population should have to be able to prevent them from most of these NTDs.
Evans, and yes.
And the last thing that I wanted to say, as we continue to measure the magnitude of these diseases through the ongoing mapping in the country, we are also appealing to the community and the leaders in each of the counties where the team from the Ministry of Health and from WHO are going to give them access, because you only measure once. Mm-hmm. If you miss it, it means you will have given wrong information to that county, to that community. So for the people that are currently mapping in the former, like the Greater Western Equatoria, the Greater Upper Nile, the Greater Jonglei, we would like that as soon as the teams arrive there, they should be given support, they should be allowed to access, they should be allowed to go into the villages and check, because we are checking for stool, we are checking for urine, we are checking for blood. And with the result that comes, that is what will determine, or that is what will help us to know, is the disease there or is not there? If it is there, how much of it is there? And then we can now realign intervention. And these are easy diseases that can easily be treated, and I'm sure South Sudan will be able to make it.
All right, thank you. Thank you so much, Dr. Evans. Thank you so much, Dr. Richard, for coming to Mirai Studios. We really do appreciate your time.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. You're listening to the Mirai Breakfast Show, and right there we had Dr. Richard Lino Laku, who is the Director General for Policy Planning, Budgeting and Research in the Ministry of Health, and also have Evans Liuosi, who is the Technical Officer, neglected tropical diseases